Well, you can go ahead and open up in the book of Mark in your Bible this morning. I appreciate you braving all the masses of traffic that you had to earlier in the week. I literally had a lady said, "Are you having church Sunday?" I'm like, "I don't understand your question." She said, "Are you having church on Sunday?" I said, "It's Sunday. Yeah, we're having." She said, "Yeah, we're canceling. Yeah, the traffic's going to be crazy. We're just, well, you know, haven't had any trouble getting here this morning. All right, maybe getting home, but I don't know. Could we agree that we don't get rained out tomorrow? I mean, you know, here's another one I heard. I think Rodney told me this. Somebody really just thought it was a terrible idea to schedule the eclipse on a Monday when the kids were in school." You saw that one? Yeah. I mean, come on, let's get this act together. All right. But today I'm going to talk about something that's pretty near and dear on my heart. Because, you know, I have made just tons of mistakes in my life. The number of times I have failed, I couldn't even count that. The times that I've sinned, I feel like Paul, who wrote in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. I mean, you know, there's this struggle between your spirit man, who always wants to do the right thing, who's connected to the things of God, and then your flesh. And your flesh is never going to be saved until Jesus comes again. Amen. And you get a resurrected body. Amen. I mean, so until then, you're going to have this struggle. And if you have this struggle, then you're going to fall down and you're going to stumble. I'm sure I've shared it with you, but our daughter Whitney is 30 years old now, but she was somewhere around the age of maybe 17, maybe she was a senior in high. I just don't remember exactly, but I got this panicky feeling, like, oh my goodness, have I done my job as a parent? Because she's our oldest. You know, Whitney's 30, Morgan's 28, Lane's 25, and Lindy will be 21 in October. But you know, so this was our first, and you know, you make all your mistakes on your first kid, so the rest of them can turn out perfect, right? The younger kid said, amen. All right. And I thought, I need to write down, and I should have done this maybe like 20 years ago, what my objectives would be as a parent. What do I want my kids to know before they leave home? You know, how can I measure whether I've done my job? And I wrote down 10 things I wanted my kids to know. Well, one of those was to try new things. Don't be afraid to fail. And if you fall down, get up. Because if you're going to try new things, you're going to fall down. If you try to do something you've never done before, you're going to fail in the process. But if you fall down, get up. And so 3 out of those 10 just had to do with attempting things that you didn't know how to do, and don't be afraid to fail at those things, and when you fall down, get back up. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, is about failing forward. Because if you try anything, or if you're alive, if you're doing anything, you're going to fail. And in church, you know, when you're a pastor, there are certain people sometimes that feel like it is their assignment from God to let you know when you fail. So you don't even have to know. You don't even need the Holy Spirit. That's supposed to get a really good laugh. I mean, it just kind of fell. All right. Because they'll point those out to you. And I had somebody, you know, several years ago, point out many, many, many mistakes that I had made as a pastor. I mean, came in with a list into my office, made an appointment to let me know my failings, because there was a point, because, you know, this person assumed that what I was doing right now was also a failure. and you know, needed to build an argument against me, and came in with a list of really like 7-8 things, mistakes that I had made as a pastor. You know, the funny part of that is I agreed with every single one of those. Are you following me? But I said, I failed to see your point. Well, all these were mistakes, and what you're doing right now, I'm telling you, I had a dream, I had a vision, the Lord told me. I said, you and I view failure very, very differently. So you're trying to make me feel bad, and you're just not going to. Because all of those mistakes were on the way to a successful journey of figuring out how things really do work. And there's just some process involved of trial and error, and some things work and some things don't work. And sometimes I just made a bad mistake. Sometimes it just wasn't a good idea. Are you following me? You see, it's not failing that's the problem. It's your response to failure that can be the problem. You know, so we think sometimes the difference between people who achieve and people who are average, you know, maybe has something to do with luck. You know, that person was just lucky. They were just in the right place at the right time. Or you know, maybe it had something to do with family background or opportunities. If I had the same opportunities as that guy, I'd be successful too. Or maybe the absence of hardship. But what I found really to be true, the main difference between people who achieve and people who are average is often their perception of and their response to failure. We fear failure, so we won't attempt new endeavors. When we anticipate failure as a possibility, then we're able to make adjustments, corrections, and changes sooner. The question isn't whether you're going to fail. The question is, will you fail backwards? Or will you fail forward? Have you ever heard this? You know, if the possibility of failure were completely erased, what would you attempt to achieve? Have you heard that? You know, if the possibility of failure was completely eliminated, what would you try to do? Well, you know, that is such a hypothetical that can never happen. It's a dumb question. Because there's never the impossibility of failure. Failure is always possible when you try something. Are you following me? The better question is this. If your perception of and response to failure were changed, what would you attempt to achieve? Like, even if you did fail, would you try it anyway? The trouble with failure is sometimes it's my fault and I don't even have anybody to blame. And some things, they just don't work out. So everything that we attempt to do, even with this church, some of the stuff is going to work really well and some of it's not going to work really well. But you know what? We're going to keep moving forward and we're going to learn from our mistakes. Amen. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again." Psalm 37:23 says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. You can be being led by the Spirit of God. Your steps are being ordered of the Lord, and you can still fall down. But you're not wiped out of the race. People who fail backwards, here's some characteristics of them. They blame others. It's your fault. They repeat mistakes. See, the thing about that list that was brought to me, there was never the same mistake on there. It was different ones. I have a gentleman in the room that helped helped me about 16, 17 years ago start a radio station. We didn't know what in the world we were doing, except that we believed that God wanted to start this radio station. Wow, the mistakes that we made. Unbelievable amounts of mistakes that we made. And the people that were working with us finally said, "You guys just keep throwing mud at the wall to see what sticks." And we said, "And? What's our choice?" Because we had personal guarantees on all the loans, and I, for one, you know, borrowed against the equity in our house. And I'm thinking, if this doesn't work, we lose our house. Are you following me? We're going to keep throwing mud, and something's going to stick. But you know what? That radio station in May was 16 years old. And this month, all of that debt will have been paid. Hallelujah. But we made tons of mistakes because we didn't know what we were doing, but we were following the plan of God in our life. The people who fell backwards expect to never fail again. Really? Or here's the real crucial thing. People that fail sometimes now think themselves to be a failure. Something failed, so that makes me a failure. And if that is true of you, then you're going to fail backwards and then you're going to quit. Quitting is always a permanent solution to a temporary situation. Are you listening to me? But people who fail forward, number one, take responsibility for the result. Again, this person was trying to make me feel bad, but pointing out all my mistakes, I said, yes, mistake, 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 mistake. But do you notice that we didn't stay with those things very long? As soon as we found out it was a mistake, we corrected that and we did something different. I'll take ownership of all of that. But here's what I won't do. I'm not going to let you try to direct me and run me now because you're trying to make me feel bad because of the mistakes that I've done. I'll make my mistakes, but I'm not willing to make your mistakes. You see what I'm saying? She was trying to run me by pointing out all my... And how mean is that, by the way? I mean, how mean is that? You know, there is an accuser of the brethren. His name is Satan. So if you're a person that loves to go around correcting other people and telling other people, you know, what a failure they are, you know, you're playing for the wrong team. And just don't ever let your critics become your advisors. There's people in your life, and I talked about in my Facebook Bible study this past week, counselors. There are people who qualify as counselors in your life, but they're seldom your critics. Because your counselors always have your best interest at heart. And even if they're bringing you correction, it's always for your benefit and good. It's not just to make you feel bad and themselves to feel better. People that fail forward learn from mistakes. They accept failure as part of the process. Something I tried did not work, and they take new risk and they persevere. There's five rules for being human. Number one, rule number one, you're going to learn lessons. Rule number two, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Rule number three, lessons are repeated until they are learned. Rule number four, if you don't learn easy lessons, they get harder. Rule number five, you've learned the lesson when actions change. Are you in Mark? Mark chapter 14 this morning. We're going to read about a guy who is a pretty big deal in the New Testament. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Would you stand together with me as we read from God's Word this morning? Mark chapter 14, verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. Your speech shows it." And he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you teach us how to overcome failure and even sin. And that we would pick ourselves up, that we would be the righteous man or woman of God that is written about in your word, that the righteous fall seven times but get up again every time. That when we fall, Father God, that we fall forward. When we fail, that we fail forward. We learn our lessons and we change actions and we get better results. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You see, Jesus predicted that Peter would fail. In chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus said, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee." And Peter said, "Even if everybody else is made to stumble, not me." How many of you know that pride goes before destruction? All right. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he spoke even more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And everybody else said, "No, not me, not me, not me." Man, the night didn't even make it completely through until Peter had denied Jesus three times. Can you imagine that in Jesus' most vulnerable moments, as he's being arrested, as he's being beaten, as he's being falsely accused, all of a sudden, all of the disciples, including Peter, go into self-preservation mode and start looking out for their own backside. Are you listening? And just lying, just whatever, just, I'm not going down with this guy. I'll die with you, Jesus. The night didn't even make it through. And when that cock crowed that second time, all of a sudden, Peter is overwhelmed with guilt and shame and condemnation. He just begins to weep. Have you been there? Have you denied Jesus with some action or some inaction? Have you really just messed up bad? Were you just, "Man, I am completely disqualified"? If anybody was disqualified, man, Peter is now disqualified. But look at Matthew chapter 16, if you will, please. Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter." Jesus, at this moment of revelation, changed Simon's name to Peter, which means rock. And Jesus said, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus predicted Peter's failure. He predicted him to fail miserably. He predicted that even the night that Jesus was being betrayed and arrested and beaten and sent to the cross, then the following day, that on that day, Peter denied the Lord. What a horrible prediction of failure. Can I just give an equal prediction to you? You're going to fail. There's going to be times in your life you'll probably even deny the Lord. There's going to be times where you make terrible mistakes. There's going to be things that happen to you, and your response to those things is going to be sinful. Have you ever noticed that when somebody really sins against you, that most of the time your response is equally sinful? Maybe justifiable, but still sinful. But none of those things disqualify you from being used by God, because Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. And you would think that perhaps that would disqualify Peter from ever being used. Jesus certainly knew what was going to happen when Jesus told Peter that he was going to be instrumental in the foundation of building Christ's church. Because on this revelation of who Jesus is that Peter had, Jesus changed his name from Simon to rock and said, "On this rock I will build my church." And on the day of Pentecost, who was it that stood up and preached the inaugural message of the church age? It was Peter who stood up, and 3,000 men besides women and children were saved that day. Sin and or failure do not disqualify a person from being used mightily by God. I don't know what you've done, but it has not disqualified you from being used by Almighty God any more than it disqualified Peter from being used. Peter stands up boldly on that day and proclaims Jesus, and looks at the people that crucified Jesus and said, "And you're the ones that killed him." I mean, all of a sudden this boldness came upon him. Where did all of that come from? And then in chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, and they come across a lame man who's begging, and Peter and John look at him and say, "Silver and gold we don't have for you, but we have something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man went walking, leaping, and praising God. I mean, God is using Peter mightily. In chapter 5, we see that there is such power at the hands of the apostles and in the early church that was unified, that had come together and had prayed, "Lord, you know, let us speak with boldness. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Let signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus." That there was such power present in the early church that in Acts chapter 5, we note that Peter would walk through the streets, and people would bring out sick people and put them along the edge of the street. So when Peter walked by, his shadow would fall on them. And when Peter's shadow would fall on them, they would be instantly healed. Come on, somebody. Peter is mightily used of God. But he had an opportunity to fail backwards. Had an opportunity to quit. I mean, this is the low water mark. I mean, Peter goes from low water mark to high water mark pretty fast, wouldn't you see? Wouldn't you agree with that? And the same can happen in your life. There are some necessary things. There's some necessary things for us to be able to fail forward. The first thing is we have to have the ability to reject rejection. Because people are going to accuse you. They're going to say, don't you remember when? My sister was, like a messenger from Satan sent to buffet me when I was a teenager. All right? And I saw her a couple of days ago. But anytime I would make a mistake, and it usually had to do with her provoking me and me retaliating. Remember what I said about when you've been sinned against, you often sin in return. All right. And then she would follow. See, I was called to preach when I was 11 years old. And I preached my first sermon when I was 14 years old and licensed into ministry at age 17 and started pastoring right before my 20th birthday. All right. I know. Weird kid. All right. But so it was well known that I was this little preacher boy. And so anytime I would sin, especially against my sister, she would say, some kind of preacher you're going to be. And those thoughts get down on the inside of you. And you think, you know what? I probably am not qualified. I have too much temper. I mean, I've got some anger issues. As a teenager. I mean, there's thoughts that go through my head that probably shouldn't go through the head if I'm going to be used of God. Are you listening to me? But if you're going to fail forward, you're going to have to reject rejection. And most of that is just the thoughts going through your own mind. Those voices of condemnation. But you need to remember Romans 8:1, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You have to have this ability to reject that rejection. And then the next thing is you can't base your self-worth always on performance. Because you're just going to fail sometimes. You're going to fall down sometimes. You're going to make some mistakes. Never say, I am a failure. Instead, say this, I missed that one. I made a mistake. Here's my favorite. Man, I'm way too smart to make that mistake again. Wow, that's just not like me. You cannot attach that failure and start thinking yourself now to be a failure. But you do have to own your mistakes. You can't blame others. You can't blame circumstances. Well, I would have this. If take responsibility, but don't take it personally. If you always have an excuse, if you always have a reason why you fail, you're going to stay in that mode. But if you take personal responsibility for it, but don't take it personally, do you know how to do that? Like, yeah, I made a mistake, but I'm not a failure. I made a mistake, but I'm going to learn from this. I made a mistake, but I'm going to do it differently next time. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever had the thought go through your mind, you know what, I think you've used up the grace of God because you've asked for forgiveness for this thing like too many times now? Like there's like a number? Has that thought ever gone through your mind like, here you are again, are you kidding me? You cannot succumb to that condemnation and that accusing voice because it will cause you to fail and fall backwards. View failure as temporary. 1922, Harry Truman was 38 years old. Not young, not old, but at 38, think about it, it would seem like who you are as a person has been determined. Maybe not. Because at 38 years old, Harry Truman was in debt and out of work. And if you would have looked at him, you would have thought, man, what a loser. 1945, he was president of the United States. We need to treat failure as isolated incidences. But we also need to keep our expectations realistic. The greater the feat you desire to achieve, the more preparation required to attain the skill or the experience necessary. There's just some things, you know, let's go somewhere ridiculous, okay? All right, if I said, next Sunday, I believe I'm supposed to take over as praise and worship leader for Cornerstone Church in St. Joseph. And I'm going to lead from the piano. Okay. Think I might fail. Anybody think I might fail? Anybody pretty sure? My wife. All right. Thank you. Thank you for one honest person in the whole room. My wife. All right. I mean, there's some things, come on. You're going to keep failing if you keep attempting the wrong thing. And if it's a big thing, you know, you're just not going to be great at this immediately. I believe I have the ability to learn how to play the piano. I've just really never taken the time to actually do that. But is that ability there? Yeah. You know, am I going to be, you know, concert pianist? No, but I believe I could learn. But you know what? It's going to sound a whole lot like Mary had a little lamb, right? I mean, it's going to be pretty elementary until, you know, both hands are sinking in the brain, you know, and it sounds like actual real music. So if you're attempting to do something pretty big, then understand there's going to be a growth curve there. There's going to be a learning curve there. And understand there's going to be some prep time for that. And understand there's going to be a lot of failure in that process to becoming successful. And you're really just not wired to be great at everything. You're just not going to be great at everything. There's only a few things that I throw myself completely into. There's only a few things. Speaking. It's like my one and only trick in life that I'm actually feel like I'm accomplished at. Like people would actually come and listen. You understand? You wouldn't come listen to me play the piano and or sing. There's a few things I throw myself into, like starting churches, being a husband, a dad, pop to my grandchildren and a friend. I enjoy golf. I enjoy playing tennis, but I'm never going to earn a living doing either one of those things. I like riding my bike, but I'm not really that fast. I'm faster than people that don't ride bikes or, you know, ride once or twice a year. But again, I'm not going to win the race. I'm not going to be rewarded for that, even though I enjoy it. I enjoy singing, but no one's ever asked me to sing a solo since about fifth grade. So you're not going to be great at everything. You need to focus on your strengths. Winners focus on what they can do, not on what they cannot do. So you need to learn how to strengthen your areas of strength. Develop your skills further. I don't know how many different times over the years, different people come in and said, God has called me to be a praise and worship leader. I said, really? Do you play an instrument? No? Okay. Have you ever sung in front of people ever before? No. Could you sing for me now? Oh, I don't think I can do that. I said, maybe not what God's called you to do. Just a thought. Just an idea that if God's called you to do something, maybe he'd also give you the gifts and the talents and the boldness and the courage to do that thing. But we throw ourselves into, we look at areas of our life. I mean, how many of you know some deficiencies that you have? If you don't know, ask the person next to you. I'm sure they know, all right? And I'm not saying that we should just ignore bad behavior, but we can become so fixated on our faults and our failures, our deficiencies, that we never are good at anything. That you have this mentality that you have to be good at everything and that you compare yourself to other people that have areas of strength where you're weak and you feel such a failure at that you just try to make yourself good in areas where you're really, really not strong. And I'm telling you, that's a formula just to stay average or below average your whole life. But God has wired you a certain way and he's given you obvious strengths, and those strengths should be strengthened. Are you listening to me? Those areas that God has made you proficient, those are the areas that you should concentrate on. I completely ignore almost every weakness in my life except where they might be negligent or harmful to other people or where it might hurt my reputation, all right? I mean, bad character is just bad. I don't mean that. But I'm just saying, like details, I'm terrible at details. Like very deficient in those. Big picture, big ideas, things that have to do with going forward and seeing things that aren't there yet and working towards achieving that. That's the way God has wired me. And so I have to have people around me that, you know, my staff over the years, you know, I'll say something and they'll say, yeah, but like 2 weeks ago, you said the exact opposite thing of that. I said, I did? Oh, okay. Well, you know, whatever works. All right, because I don't care. I just like completely just don't worry about that anymore. Used to really bother me. Follow me? Like, you know, if Michelle didn't pay our bills, they might not get paid. It's not that we didn't have money. It's not that I'm an irresponsible person. It's just like, oh, is it like the 20th already? Because my mind's like on other things. And I'm not, and if I didn't have Michelle, I'd get them paid. I'd figure it out. But you can't be good at everything. And God hasn't wired you to be good at everything. But what has God wired you to do? And do that thing and do it heartily as unto the Lord, because we need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. See, we're all designed differently. And that's why we need one another. And that's why we live in this fellowship. But you keep trying to make yourself good in areas where you're probably just not going to be. Life is really just not best when everyone sings in unison. I mean, it's good. It's better than, you know, everybody singing a different song. But you know what's really beautiful? Man, we went out to that Trails West last night, and there was this young band from Kansas City. I mean, they all looked like brothers or cousins or something, you know. But man, their harmonies were so tight. And it was so good. And they had them sing the national anthem a cappella. Man, that harmony was beautiful. We don't need everybody to be the same. But we need you to sing your note. Let's blend our voices and make beautiful music together with everyone singing his or her part. Let's maximize our strengths and allow other people to be strong around us. And if you fall down, get up. If you fall down, get up, because we need you back in the game. We need you on the team. We can't do without you. We need your part. We need what you can bring that no one else can bring. We need what you can do that no one else can do. We need you to step up and fulfill. I mean, this golf tournament that we're putting together, I mean, I get ideas. But, you know, it took about four tries to get a brochure put together because details. We got it. But you know what? I already have a team going out and go, man, we need this and we need that. We need the other thing. You know what? We have an $8,000 goal and we've raised about 3,000 of it already. And haven't even hardly got started. Are you listening to me? Because we've got people stepping forward to do things that I'm not good at. And I'm not afraid to fail. So, well, what if you don't raise eight? Well, man, I think our kids overseas will be great if we send them five. Are you following me? God can use you no matter what failure has been in your past, but it's time for you to get up and get going again. It's time for you to repent and be forgiven and get going again. Whatever's happened to you, it's time to let that go and get moving again. The angel from the empty tomb told the women in Mark 16, but go after Jesus had risen from the dead, go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he said to you, it is vital for Peter to know and understand that his sin and his failure did not disqualify him from fulfilling this enormous plan that God had on his life. And so the angel said to the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus wants to meet you in Galilee because this thing that Jesus said to you about establishing the church and the gates of hell, not prevailing against it, you're still in. God's still counting on you. God still wants to use you, and God's going to do something great through you. Even though you messed up really bad. Even if you've messed up really, really, really bad. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Even if you've messed up really, really bad. Like Peter, when we fail, we must fail forward. And there's just people in the room, you just feel like you've been disqualified for some reason. There's other people, you feel like it's somebody else's fault, but let me tell you something about that. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, that judgment seat, I would say there's not one chance in the world that you're going to say, I would have been obedient to you, Jesus, but that other person, you know what they did. I really couldn't do what you called me to do, Jesus, because of what happened. Come on, guys, you and I both know that's not going to hold any water. It's time for you to get back in the game. It's time for you to repent, get right with God, and get going again. And even if you've failed, even if you've messed up, even if you've denied the Lord, it doesn't change what God's called you to do. And you're not disqualified. So you've got to get going again. Perhaps you're here and, man, you've just been really completely rebellious against God. Somehow you found yourself in church today and you're ready to say, I surrender. I'm ready to give my life to you, Jesus. I'm ready to follow you. Just everybody just being very, very respectful to others around you. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. just by slipping up your hand for me this morning, you say, I'm ready to get back in the game. I'm ready to be obedient to God again. Or I'm ready to give my life completely to Jesus today. If that's you, would you just hold up your hand so I can pray for you? I see you in the back. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me? I've just been sitting on the sidelines too long. I'm ready to get back in the game. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus today. Anybody else? Father, I do pray for us. Lord, I believe there's great things that you want to do through individuals that are represented in this room and maybe those watching over the internet right now. But Father, one thing I absolutely know is that there's something that you've called us to do collectively. To be light shining in darkness. Being hope to the hopeless. Bring healing to those that are broken. Lord, I pray that your will be accomplished through us. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.